This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Hi there, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. The Christian War Room, where we gonna look at any imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we're trying to pulling it down. We're trying to pull down those strongholds. And we're going to look at this. Now, we are living in perilous times. The Bible is very clear about this. Times are very dangerous. And we've got the ultimate truth. And the ultimate truth is Jesus Christ. He is the man who says of himself that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you can either accept it or reject it, but you do this at your own peril. Now, what is happening in this world? What is even happening within Christianity? We've got so-called evangelical Christianity. We've got charismatic Pentecostal Christianity. One, they rely on the Word of God, and they come up with a lot of very, very strange ideas. And then we've got the ones who have the Word of God, and they claim to have supernatural inspiration through the Holy Spirit. And even there, very, very strange things are coming up, and we don't know what is really going on, and it's very disconcerting. Okay, I want to look at today at two prophecies, and one of them is by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and the other one is, we talked about this sometime earlier, I think the talk is a few days ago, about an old lady from 1968. She was in her 90s, or 90 years old, and she told an evangelist called Emmanuel Minos of what she had seen and what God had shown her about the time before Christ comes back. And it's both of them are very intriguing. Because we started off with the Minos prophecy, let's have a look at what Booth was saying. And he said this at the turn of the century. So that was 1899 to 1900. Understand when he came up with this quote, and he was sort of asked, you know, what does he see in the coming century? So that is the 20th century. We are now in the 21st century, just to clarify this. So that's about 120 years ago when he said this. And he said, like, I'm going to quote, "The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, and salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." Okay, let's go through this bit by bit and compare it to what, you know, this old lady was seeing in Minos. And we've got in the Bible as well, and maybe we should just stick it in here, Laodicea, you know, the church who thought they've got it all, they're sorted, and everything is wonderful, they're rich, they've got it all. And Jesus said, "You are poor and wretched. You know, buy some ointment from me so that you can see how poor and wretched you are." And this is, I think, what we see today, especially in the 21st century, where we've got some really weird Christianity going on. I'm not sure what it is. Now, Jesus said himself, you know, that it's a narrow way and very few. Narrow is a gate and the way, and it's only very few find it. That was he was saying, and it's really scary when you think about it, and you compare it to the broad way. And I think a lot of people they enter through the broad gate, and they think that, you know, this is okay. You know, I'm rich, I've got it all, I'm all sorted. You know, I've got my little religion, salvation is here. And but look, it's more than that. You know, it's more than that. You need to have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You need to have the Holy Spirit working in your heart, given to you as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is so important. And if you miss out on this, you're just living a lie. And one day you're going to die, and it's all too late, and you've messed it all up, and you've missed it all. If you're lucky, you make heaven. But, you know, you could have done so much here on earth, which would have been so great when you look back, but you've missed it all because you were just following a lie. So we need to go back to the Word of God. We need to go back to a real, true, dedicated, committed relationship to Jesus Christ, and really, you know, whatever days, whatever time we have been given, you know, walk in the calling God has given us. upon this earth, upon this life. Yeah, whatever it is, and it may be different, it will be different for each and every one of you. Okay, danger of the 20th century, religion without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth, convict us of sin, let us know about who Jesus is. It is so important. We need to have the Holy Spirit. We need to have the Holy Spirit. And this is very easy because we so, and I can see this so often, that we have just got a dead Christianity. That people just come to some sort of creed, and there's a lot of ritual, a lot of liturgy, a lot of, you know, do this and do that. But they don't really have the Holy Spirit. It's just living a dead life. There's no real life in them. And Jesus said, you know, how much more, you know, even though you are evil, yeah, you know how to give your children good gifts. And that's true, you know. If you love your kids and you're a parent, I remember my father, he always had little ideas where, you know, he went past a toy shop and he just bought some stuff and gave it to us. And I still remember sort of, I've still got a small, I have to look and see where it is, a small telescope which he bought me. And it was really great. I really, really enjoyed it. And I learned a lot as well. And once he bought me, he saw this this knight's castle made of wood. And I mean, I was just a kid. I was... I don't know how old I was, less than 9 years old, maybe seven years old. And I got this knight's castle, and it was really cool, and I really enjoyed it. And handmade and all that. And so he came up with this, and he had lots of good gifts. Our Heavenly Father, and Jesus says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him for it? If you just, you know, it doesn't matter whether you are, you know, hyper charismatic or super charismatic or, you know, Pentecostal extreme or whatever. Or, you know, you are ultra evangelical. Just ask God to have the Holy Spirit in your life, to have the Holy Spirit in your life, to lead and guide you, to lead you into all truth, to convict you of sin. This is so important, you know, to lead you into righteousness. And then there's another one, Christianity without Christ. Yeah? And we've got it. We've got it all over. You know, if I look at Christianity and if I look at some churches which are out there, Jesus is sort of, yeah, it's an interesting idea, you know, good guy kind of thing. But the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer in there. It's dead. It's dead as a doo-doo. There's nothing going on. They don't know Jesus. They don't want to know him. They have got some sort of Christianity, you know, some words, some, you know, benevolent culture. And as they are walking through this life with a Christianity without Christ, they're just getting more and more deceived and deluded. You know, it is important. You need to know Jesus. You need to know him like your best friend, like your spouse, yeah. And it might sound irreverent, but you need to know Jesus. Yeah. And you can know him, and that's the reason why we need the Holy Spirit as well. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need Christianity with Christ, where Christ is the center of our faith. And it's not some, you know, let's do this and do that and be good and be nice and, you know, go to church every Sunday and do the Bible study, the flowers, the mission, the this, the that, and the other. But it's about Jesus being right at the center. And it's so easy that we miss it. And to be fair, you know, it to what degree you describe it, we miss it every day. I miss it every day. Yeah. And it takes me time to sort of go back into it and to refocus on Jesus Christ. But we need Christianity with Christ. And today we've got it without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. Yeah. This is the biggie. I once won mega church preacher. He was at a TED talk, and it was all about, you know, your vocation, your mission, your calling. And if you want to accept it, then just say, God, I want to accept my calling. And that is it. That was the end of it. And you think, what? No sin? You know, a bloodless gospel? A sinless gospel? You know, we are all okay. You know, God loves us all. This guy, I mean, you probably can... If you know a little bit about the church, I'm not going to mention any names, but this guy, he says he hasn't got any problems to work with Muslims and with Hindus and everything, and he just wants to have this peace plan and, you know, create little wells and get everything going and serve the communities. And you think, how can you do this? This is just like in total contravention against the Bible. Yeah. Total contravention against the Bible. You cannot be unevenly yoked. You should avoid it at any cost, and you cannot. And then the other thing, what kind of gospel are you preaching? You know, there's a calling on your life. You need to do some stuff. You need to fulfill your gifts, and you just, you know, invite God and that's it. That's a big problem. And the big problem is that you are all sinners. We are all sinners. We are all alienated from God. And the only way we can be reconciled with God is through, number one, is accepting that we are sinful, that we cannot stand before God the way we are. And number two is to receive the way God has provided for us to receive forgiveness, and that is in Jesus Christ. And that is through the forgiveness of our sin, through the blood he has shed on the cross, and through our faith in this great event which happened at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ, where God let himself be crucified, and his blood was shed on the cross for your sin and for my sin. And then he talks about Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance. It's interesting as well. So, yeah, okay, I'm a sinner. I accept this. I receive all the forgiveness. End of story. No repentance, no turning away from it. You just carry on. You know, maybe you change it slightly, but you just carry on. And you see this all over. There's a gospel which is preached today. It's an easy gospel. The cost is very, very low. It doesn't cost you anything. You just accept it and you're okay. And, you know, you've got your little Prozac, spiritual Prozac, and you walk through life through Prozac thinking you are okay, but really you aren't. Salvation without regeneration, that is an exit. You don't repent, you don't regenerate. So you think you are safe, but there's no regeneration taking place. And once that is the case, then where does this leave us? You know? Politics without God, need I say more? We've got it all over. One politician in Europe, he said that he wanted to rule like Jupiter. And he got sort of a little bit of a Napoleonic complex, I think. And bearing in mind he's fairly little as well, similar to Napoleon, I don't know whether that is a requirement of having aspirations of Godhead. But you think, are these guys crazy, you know? And why do people still recognize these politicians? And then the next one is Heaven Without Hell. We looked at the lyrics here from John Lennon a few talks ago. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. So that was his little peace song, you know. Imagine how wonderful it all is if we are all together in the brotherhood of man and all that. And that is pretty much the prelude of heaven without hell. Yeah, we all believe in a heaven. We're all going to go there, but there is no hell. No, the reality is different. I always say, it's a Yorkshire saying where I live, the proof is in the pudding. You know, you get the pudding, you eat it, and it's either good or it's not good. But once you eat it, you know. Yeah? And the thing is, reality is reality. Whatever is real is real. And if you want to accept Jesus, you have to accept what he says. And Jesus talks more about hell than as an eternal destiny, as he talks about heaven as an eternal destiny. And he warns against it, and he says, look, you know, you need to follow me. Even to the extent it's better that you rip out your eye if it leads you to lusting and is going to get you into hell. So it's better to rip it out and go into heaven than, you know, spending these few years on earth blind than being seeing and being thrown into hell with your whole body. This is what he says. I'm not suggesting that this is what you do. There are better ways of dealing with this, which is to just invite the Lord into your life and to let the Holy Spirit deal with the sin inside of you, to walk in the Spirit so that you cannot complete the desires of the flesh. And that is really what Booth is talking here about. So it's a big problem. Now, let me just go back to the Minos prophecy. I don't know which talk it is. You can go to christianwarroom.com and you can listen to the Minos talk. If you type into Google Minos and 1968 prophecy, you will get to this. And anyway, what the good old lady was saying is, and I'm not going to read you the whole text, otherwise it would take us too much time, but I'm just going to go through those points she was saying, and this is what she was seeing, what would happen just before the return of Christ. And she says there's a preaching which is going to change in Christianity. There's no more preaching about sin and grace. Nothing there. Yeah, it's all some sort of wishy-washy gospel. They don't talk about the law and the gospel anymore. Yeah, the law is horrible. And it's important to understand the law, because the law pretty much tells us that you are a rotten sinner. If you get rid of the law, you don't need the gospel anymore. There's no need for salvation, because, you know, and this is what is happening today. We are all our own law. What we decide is right and good is good. And the typical example is the LGBT movement. It's so far today that if you say anything against this, and you even suggest in the mildest format that it may not be the best way to live, to pursue a lifestyle that fits in with, you know, what these guys are preaching, you pretty much are in trouble, or in danger of losing your job. You are pretty much in danger of, you know, being accused of hate speech and with everything that entails with that. You're no longer allowed in certain environments to have an opinion about this. Yeah. You know, is it good to live? And let me just spell it out. Is it good to live in a heterosexual relationship as husband and wife, committed for life, to produce kids, to look after them for the rest of your lives, to make sure they are okay, they've got a good start in life, to not sleep around, to be faithful to one partner, to commit loving your partner even when things are not going right? And the answer is clearly, it's good, it's positive. It's something that deserves to be supported. Yeah? And today, this is, you know, what about alternative lifestyles? Are they good? And the question is no, because medically, these people have got a lot of problems because of the practices they pursue. Demographically, there's got to be a big problem because children are not produced in that way. There are other problems as well, you know, where it is against human nature. Yeah, from what simple biology tells us, or what we can see in nature. And again, you mentioned this publicly, you're in trouble these days. Yeah, and that is where man is making up their own laws, and they follow by it, and they ignore God's law. There's no repentance, and instead, what we have is we find a prosperity gospel, a gospel of materialism, and it's no more prayer. Prayer meetings are empty. People are not interested in, you know, gathering for, you know, seeking God or seeking the face of God. And what we get instead is we get an entertainment culture, which we find in Christianity as well. It's all about entertainment and culture, and then the whole concept of pick up your cross and follow me, what Jesus said. It's not there, you know. Okay, just deal with all the rubbish that's dealt with in life and just follow Christ and make the best of it. It's no longer there, but instead we've got some sort of entertainment culture. And it's all about art, culture, entertainment when you go to church these days. And if it doesn't happen, people are not interested. They will leave the church. There is a big increase of the whole thing. That's what she said before Jesus comes back. What else have we got? I mean, she talks about that in society, there's going to be, you know, marriage is going to be irrelevant. There's a lot of cohabitation taking place. There's a lot of uncleanness. There's infidelity, and it's justified from every angle. That's what she's saying, this old woman in 1968, for the future. And this is what we are seeing as well, where, yeah, you know, he doesn't wash up the dishes and that's the reason why I looked for another man or something. And sort of you find this a lot today, and this goes even right inside Christian circles. It is real. This is what we see around us. And I can see this as well. Again, if you are a millennial and you're just growing up in this world, when I was in my early teens and 20s, it was very rare that people got divorced. Very, very rare. It did happen, but it was rare. Now, it's pretty much the norm. It's very rare if people stay together, you know, for the rest of their lives, if people make it work. She talks about something against sin against nature, and I was just talking about the whole LGBT movement and the way it's been portrayed and the way it's sort of the new normal today. That's okay, you know, that's fine. You can do this, but again, God has got a standard, and the standard is very different to the standard man has made up, you know, and considered it to be good. And this is partly due to flawed science, where some flawed scientists came up and they say, oh, it's genetic and blah, 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 blah. And then the whole thing is there. But nevertheless, you know, when you look at it in more detail, it's not quite as clear-cut as some of these scientists, what they come up with, and yeah, it's a big problem. She also talks about immorality on television, violence and pornography. Again, it's all over. If you look at television today, when you look at the press, it's some of it is absolutely shocking. You've got a very anti-Christian, anti-God bias in the press, especially the left-wing press, and it doesn't matter which you turn on. If you're here in England, you've got like the official channels, the government channels, the BBC is supposed to be an independent organization, but turn it on and all it is just like left-wing propaganda. You get from morning till evening politically correct, and certain views are presented, certain views are not presented. You look at German television, you look at the government broadcaster, and the problem is that a lot of people who traditionally go into the media, they come from the left-wing spectrum, and that's what you find. So if you dare to have an alternative view, maybe a more traditional view, you immediately portrayed as a Nazi, as a fascist, as somebody who is ultra-right, as populist and negative. And that is pretty much what is portrayed through the press. And what we find is really fascinating on one side, sort of, when you see this. We had the GDR, where the press was controlled by the state, and the media was heavily controlled, and initially they were telling a lot of lies. People knew about this. Later, they were just not... they weren't misinforming, they weren't telling lies anymore, but they were just not talking about certain things. And then later, we find that this bias was still there. Then obviously the GDR went down, the press was free, people could say what they wanted. But what we find today with the left-wing press is pretty much the same as what was happening in the GDR in East Germany under the communism, but it is sort of self-imposed censorship, where certain things are not reported and certain things are reported, where there is some sort of agenda which may be invisible, unspoken of, and they pursue this agenda. And we find that that the media has become very biased, and it's very much of a problem. Okay, so we've got Minos and we have got Booth. Repentance and restoration no longer preached. Repentance and restoration no longer preached. Law and gospel no longer preached. We don't hear the gospel anymore, the pure gospel message. We don't hear the law anymore to know that we are doing wrong, because people don't want to hear this anymore. Instead, we are hearing messages of encouragement and of how lovely we are. And, you know, if we walk with God, we even get a car parking spot on a busy Sunday, you know, wanting to do our shopping at the mall. Because that's what it's all about. Yeah. That is the message we get today. Let me just sort of reiterate one more time what Booth said. Religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, and salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. That is pretty much where we are today, and what we see all around us. What can we do? What can we do? And we are here at the Christian War Room. Number one is we need to make people aware that hell is real. You know, ultimately the consequence of the lifestyle is going to, you know, rejecting Christ is going to end up in hell. Maybe we should have bumper stickers, you know, that whosoever hears my word and does not believe him who sent me is condemned already. That person will go to hell. Reject Christ. Prepare yourself for eternal damnation. Reject Christ. You will go to hell. And that is not a curse or anything like that, but that is reality. That is the ultimate reality, and hell is real. We need to let people know, you know, that you need to, you know, being half a Christian is total nonsense. You need to come to Christ with all of your heart, all of your life, and everything. Yeah. You need to receive forgiveness, but you also need to repent. And repentance is the basis for forgiveness. Not repentance, not forgiveness. Salvation without regeneration. Regeneration needs to take place. This is the whole thing about sanctification and holiness. If you come to Christ and nothing has changed in your life, you go to one of those mega churches, you lift up your hand because you want a better life. You think you are a Christian, but nothing has changed in your life. You know, you're 10 years down the line and you're still you know, doing the same stuff you used to do. And what the Bible clearly says is wrong. You're still lying. You're still lusting. You're still sexually immoral. You're still deceiving people. You're still greedy. You're still putting your focus on money, on what you have, and what, you know, all these stuff. And it hasn't really changed. My friend, what you need to do is just look at your salvation. Look at your salvation and really seek God. Just take some time out. Go to the beach. Go to a forest. Go to, you know, some place where you can be alone and call out to God and ask him where you stand. Just ask God to hold a mirror and to correct you if you are wrong in any way. I'm not saying that you are wrong. But what I'm saying is you need to make your salvation sure. You need to deal with it with fear and trembling, because that's the ultimate what you have. Your relationship with God. If I could say, what is the most important thing in your life? And we've got these, you know, these measure of threes. You can do 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 30 days without food. my friend, you cannot do even a second, 3 seconds without God, you know, without God giving you the privilege to live. You know, if God would withdraw his favor upon us, we would all be dead within an instant. But other than that, I mean, it's a time of mercy. It's a time of grace we are still living in. And we need to seek God, you know, before the time is too late, before the days of darkness come. And we cannot turn to God anymore, because our minds are so darkened that we cannot and will not see it anymore. And remember what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart 3 times, and then it says God hardened his heart. Yeah. And this was with the plagues of Egypt. So Moses came to him and he says, oh, let my people go. And he hardened his heart. Eventually God hardened his heart. And there's a time as well where it may be too late, where it's no longer you who is hardening your heart, but it is God, because time is over, time is off, time is done. So my friend, what you need to do is, as long as it is called today, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to God. You need to ask him to get into your life, to help you, to find out what's wrong, and invite the Holy Spirit into your life to lead you into all truth about Jesus, of who he is and who you are, and the problem that there is between you and God, and to fix this problem. And then, you know, throw yourself with all you have upon Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing you can do in your life. The other message which I really want to get across is it's important that we let people know 2 things. Number one is not everything which is shiny is gold. Not everything which calls itself Christian is Christian these days, even if they believe to be evangelical and Bible-believing. We need to warn people that they must make sure they have got religion with the Holy Spirit. They've got Christianity with Christ. They've got forgiveness with repentance, salvation with regeneration. And we need to encourage people to have politics with God. You know, pray for your leaders, pray for the state, pray for the government you are in. And you have to make sure that people understand there is a heaven and there is a hell. And that is really important. And then the next one is, and this is from the Minos prophecy, we are seeing all this stuff taking place right in front of our eyes. And all it tells us that the return of Christ is right around the corner. We need to let people know Jesus is coming back soon. Jesus is coming back so soon. And if you miss a rapture and you enter the tribulation time, you have got something to come for. You're gonna suffer a great deal. You may even come to Christ and escape from this time of tribulation, but it's gonna be so hard. So my friends, you need to come to Christ before it all kicks off. And if you hear this after it's already kicked off, my friends, you need to come to Christ. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't follow the beast system. Don't follow the Antichrist. Don't follow the false prophet. Throw yourself upon the mercy of God and you will be okay. You know, you may lose your life in this world, but you will inherit eternal life in the hereafter. Okay, we're coming to the end of this talk. God bless and bye-bye. Stay close to Jesus. Amen.